This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Good Friday, April 6th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll hear from at least one farm operation in our area that's not thrilled about using corn for ethanol. We'll also get a forecast for this Easter weekend from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. The last leg of Governor Rob Blagojevich's bus tour this week brought him to East Central Illinois. He used a visit to Champaign and a clinic on Thursday to tout his business tax in order to fund universal health care. AM 580's Jeff Bossert explains.
Blagojevich says he wants to place the tax burden on large corporations rather than people. He says his Illinois Covered plan will help 1.4 million uninsured adults. But the governor says it won't work as long as 80% of the state's businesses pay little to none of Illinois' corporate income tax.
The consequences of that are that children are learning in classrooms that are too big, and families are struggling to be able to have health care. They have a right to be able to afford and access. And so we are asking for some sacrifice from some of these big corporations, urging them to be part of our program and wanting them to be able to pay their fair share.
Blagojevich told a crowd at the Christie Clinic in Southwest Champaign that he'll veto a tax swap proposal supported by a number of lawmakers and business groups. He says hiking income and sales taxes in exchange for a drop in local property taxes is unfair. The governor also says there have been some misconceptions about his broad-based gross receipts tax. He says any exports made in Illinois will be tax-exempt, regardless of a corporation's size, and shouldn't drive businesses into moving across state lines. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
A presentation last night on poverty in Champaign was focused on a specific goal, increasing funding for township assistance for the poor. More on that story from AM 580's Jim Meadows.
The presentation included a video on poverty in Champaign produced by U of I urban planning students.
When they dropped that 212 down to 100, it just put a big strain on me. It hurted me.
Township aid recipient Aquametta Martin, in the video she referred to the cut in her monthly township assistance after Champaign voters turned down a township tax referendum last November. The number of Champaign residents receiving township assistance grew dramatically after Linda Abernathy became supervisor. She says her predecessor discouraged many eligible applicants, but Abernathy could not find the extra funding for her additional clients. After voters rejected the township tax referendum, she had to make deep cuts in the program. Abernathy says she's trying to persuade the Champaign City Council, which also serves as township board, to use city dollars to bolster the funding for township assistance. But a flyer at last night's presentation presented a long-term solution, another township tax referendum, which Abernathy says might go on the ballot in November of 2008. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Federal customs agents on Wednesday arrested more than 60 workers at a meat processing plant in Beardstown, Illinois. They were arrested on immigration and identity theft charges. 11 of them were released for humanitarian reasons. As Amanda Vinicky reports, several of those individuals are now speaking out. They say using others' identities is the only way they can work.
One of the women arrested but released won't give her name for legal reasons, but she came to Springfield to share her story. The 26-year-old says, through a translator, that she moved to Beardstown 2 years ago. She says she knows it's wrong to be in the United States without the proper papers, but she says she wants to give her children opportunities not available in her native Mexico.
And we don't feel that we're hurting anyone by being here. Because we work. Because we don't steal anything from anyone.
However, says U.S. Customs spokeswoman Gail Montenegro, many of those arrested did steal by taking over others' social security numbers.
The victims in this situation are those U.S. citizens and legal permanent residents who are having their identities hijacked by illegal alien workers.
Montenegro explains that customs agents do release detainees for humanitarian reasons, such as to care for their children or because of medical issues. But she says those released are placed into deportation proceedings. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
If disaster hits Champaign-Urbana, a garage that now houses buses could house hospital patients at a moment's notice. The Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District has agreed to let Carle Foundation Hospital set up its so-called surge unit inside the MTD's University Avenue facilities in an emergency. Carle's Director of Disaster Preparedness, Anita Guffey, says the garage satisfies some important criteria for medical use.
Access in and out of the facility, the ability to secure the facility. If the facility has backup power, that's extremely important. And, of course, size and space. Our plan is, where could we care for up to 500 victims?
Guffey says Carle also has agreements with the University of Illinois for surge space in case the hospital can't handle all the patients from a large-scale crisis. She says Carle's always looking for other potential sites in the area. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.UIUC.EDU/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Ethanol is the government's environmental flavor of the moment. It wants more ethanol for cleaner air and freedom from foreign oil. But sometimes too much of a good thing can catch up with you. Critics of corn-based ethanol say we could be in store for a disaster. Illinois Public Radio's Sean Ali meets an egg producer who says ethanol is hurting his bottom line and yours could be next.
Indiana egg producer Bob Kraus says he's got quite a story about the downside of ethanol. The capsule version? Ethanol is using too much corn that his hens need. But to understand that, he says, I've got to see his birds first.
We require that anybody outside the company going into the laying houses puts on protective clothing.
And with that, he draws out a white paper jumpsuit to go over my clothes. It protects chickens from germs I might carry, but I don't mind looking like a hazardous waste technician.
So where are we?
We're in one of our newer egg-laying houses, and we've got in the neighborhood of 300,000 birds in this house.
I'm looking down this direction. I'm telling you, this building is so large and so long. I mean, we're seeing a mirage come from the middle.
Yeah, there is. It's the heat coming off the birds. We'll get a little closer to him here and see if you can.
Kraus leads me down a yawning aisle of chicken cages. White hens are pecking away at the cage's metal tray.
And there's their feed in the trough. Looks like a powder almost.
Yes. Primarily it's corn, soybean meal, calcium, salt, and typically some other proteins.
Why is it that corn is like 60% of your mix?
They can eat a lot of things that provide the proper amount of nutrition, but in the Midwest, there's so much corn, it's always your least expensive base ingredient.
Or at least corn was cheap. Lately, Kraus has been fretting about high corn prices. To lay eggs, these hens need 264,000 pounds of corn every day. He's paying 40% more for corn than last year, and that's wiping out his profits. You see, egg producers have a new competitor for corn, ethanol. Distilleries use corn to brew ethanol, and lately those plants are running overtime.
Then you start taking it a little more seriously and think, holy cow, what are we going to do? We have living animals to take care of, so we got to feed them every single day, and we are going to outbid the ethanol plant. There's no way around it. We have to.
So, what options do egg producers like Kraus have? Well, some have raised prices, but Kraus's customers are big competitive chains like Walmart.
We can't call the customer and say, hey, I'm losing money on every dozen eggs that I sell you. You want to help me out?
The other option is to bleed money and wait.
Honestly, you just hope that you can manage your operation and be more efficient than other people so you'll survive long enough to get to the point where it's profitable again.
Actually, that's how the egg industry works these days. When feed costs rise, more producers go out of business. Kraus weathered many price spikes, but ethanol could keep high prices around for a while.
People will be getting chewed up and spit out over the next 3 years as this whole thing sorts itself out. And that's what worries me the most is it's odd, but it seems like there hasn't been enough homework done on ethanol.
I've been aware of this potential for a long time.
This is Lester Brown. He heads the Earth Policy Institute, a green think tank.
I think it was in 1980 or so when I first did a monograph. I think it was called something like Growing Competition Between Fuel and Food.
Brown penned his critique shortly after the government started subsidizing ethanol. He made a simple observation. American livestock require huge amounts of corn.
When you open your refrigerator door, you see milk and eggs, cheese, chicken, pork, beef, yogurt, ice cream. These are all corn products. your refrigerator is stuffed with corn.
So, as an example, it takes more corn to produce one of Krause's eggs than there is in a serving of corn flakes. And again, if corn prices rise, food producers like Bob Krause take a hit, or consumers pay more. Brown warned about this in the 1980s, but he was ignored, mostly because ethanol markets sputtered. Recently, though, high gasoline prices made ethanol attractive. That dragged the fuel into the mainstream.
And because the market has been driving investment, Washington has sort of lost control of the program.
And Washington makes no apologies.
It's a free market. I mean, this is America.
U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Mike Johanns says cheap corn came at the expense of corn farmers. Growers could barely cover their costs. Now, there's a level playing field.
Part of what you're realizing here is that you've all of a sudden got a new kid on the block, and they're buying corn. You know, we don't sit down here at USDA or in the White House and say, well, let's do 1 million bushels of corn over here, and let's do 2 million bushels of corn over there.
Well, that's the rhetoric, but the policy is more complicated. President George Bush wants even more ethanol at the gas pump. Here's the president's State of the Union address.
To reach this goal, we must increase the supply of alternative fuels by setting a mandatory fuel standard to require 35 billion gallons of renewable and alternative fuels in 2017. And that is nearly five times the current target.
The government hopes to sidestep corn with new technology. It's called cellulosic ethanol. The president explains.
We must continue investing in new methods of producing ethanol, using everything from wood chips to grasses to agricultural wastes. We made a lot of progress thanks to good policies.
But chemists haven't figured out how to make cellulosic ethanol cheaply. So for now, the domestic ethanol industry is stuck with corn. The industry says it can live with that. Bob Dineen leads the Renewable Fuels Association. Dineen says this year, everyone's paying nearly $4 for corn, including ethanol plants.
Okay. Last summer, it was $2 corn. Nobody was complaining back then. But you know what? I don't think it's necessarily a great thing in this country to be promoting policies that are just going to drive down the price of corn. Corn's probably been undervalued for too long.
Now, corn growers are seeing dollar signs, and they're planting millions of acres of additional corn. That softened corn prices a bit. Dineen says it all shows the system works.
I think people just need to give the marketplace time to adjust, to breathe.
But the question is, what are the social costs?
Again, environmentalist Lester Brown.
How many poultry farmers are going to be in business at this time next year? And how many will be forced out? It's getting pretty hairy.
Egg producer Bob Krause says the recent ethanol booms got him thinking. There are questions beyond just dollars and cents.
We've only got so much corn, but it seems foolish to take this much food and turn it and then go and burn it in our cars. It just does not make sense to me. And to trade energy independence for food independence would be horrible.
We might never have to make that trade if cellulosic ethanol comes online. But until then, Bob Krause says he's got millions of hens to feed and worries they'll become a casualty of a clean energy future. I'm Sean Alley.
Another freeze is scheduled for tonight. A hard freeze expected across all of Illinois and Indiana in the next three nights through Sunday night into Monday morning. The National Weather Service has issued various freeze warnings, hard freeze warnings, and freeze watches covering much of the two-state area. Our forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser includes a cloudy sky in northern Indiana with scattered snow showers today. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds and sun, scattered flurries, and highs from only 32 in northern Illinois to 44 in the far south. Tonight in northern and east-central Indiana, cloudy with scattered snow showers. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with scattered flurries. Lows ranging from 16 in northwest Illinois to 22 far south. And for tomorrow, windy and cold in all sections. In northern and east-central Indiana, mostly cloudy, scattered snow showers. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy with scattered flurries. And highs ranging from 32 in northern Illinois to, again, 42 in the far south. Sunday's forecast for Champaign-Urbana, still chilly, a high of 42 degrees. Partly to mostly sunny skies. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, April 6th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.